just remembered on now on the way, literally on the way to share, I remember the story that I had years ago, and I don't remember exactly who told me the story, but I was still learning in Gates Yeshiva. Mr. Webgidin will remind us, and that somebody said that that when I'm nearly sure it's a Leib Lopyan, who was a Shiva of Gates Yeshiva. The father of the current Shiva Reb Avraham Govetz, Reb Leib Govetz, I mean, the father of the current Shiva Reb Avraham Govetz. At one point, he was, and I could be wrong about the person, but he said to one of the Choshve Gdolim of Gateshead. At one point, he moved flat, or house, whatever it may have been, and he was about to buy, he viewed to purchase a house. And he went to look at the house, and he looked at it in Gateshead of old, and he looked at it and he said, he looks at it and everything seemed perfect, but he looks at it and he looks on this direction, looks that direction. He goes into one room and he could see he's not happy with it. And I don't know if it was his Ebertson or I don't know who was asking, well, what's wrong? This looks like the perfect house. That's what we've been waiting for. That's what we've been looking for. Everything is ideal over here. But I can see on your face, it's written all over your face that you're not, you can't. He says, yeah, you know what? I have to think about it myself. I can see it's not right. I just don't know exactly what it is. So they looked around in another room, she could feel that he's not happy, but himself also couldn't pinpoint exactly until they walked out of the house. And listen to that. When he walked out of the house, this tzaddik then said, you know what, actually now as we're walking out, I can feel what it was. This place, I can feel, was a makom tame. This place was a makom tame. I won't be able to move into the house. I can't. As I'm walking out, I felt the breath of fresh air, but not just literally, but also spiritually, that I can just feel this. It's a tomatika place. And the Ebertson then said, okay, fine, if that's what you feel, I respect that. And Jim went back to probably the agent, or I don't know who. And indeed, it was a place which was really a tomatika place. Mole tumma it was. And they cleared it all up, they took it all away, and there was nobody there anymore, there was nothing there anymore. But it was once a place full of tumma, and therefore, he felt it. He was subtle enough to be able to sense it. But it's just something we have to be aware of. The Chaznish and the Tshuvas writes in his letter, Chaznish also writes, persons to be very careful about anything which has to do with Dvorim, as we're learning now, the Ervo, Gilui Ervo, all these matters is essential for a person's Aliyah in Torah and Avodah Shnira Shemayim. Okay, just a story that I remembered as I was walking in, so I just thought, if the Rebbe Shem puts it in my mind, then it's here for the Olam to be shared with the Olam. Okay. It's an interesting question. So it's actually Machloikas. It's actually a halachic Machloikas. There is a bit of it. Yes, correct. There is a bit of it. When it comes to building a shul in particular, there's another side, another aspect of it. That actually to make something, it's a mitzvah of making something into a shul. To make some any place, to build something into a shul, there's always a mitzvah to it, so that can override. Yeah, but it's always a bit of an element in it. Okay, right, we started learning this fascinating sugya of Ervo, Liberaiza Ervo, and Gilui Ervo. So as we introduced, and we started learning thoroughly the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Ayin Dalet, there's three levels. What was the first level, which is certainly Midaraisa, we learned?
Seeing
Erva. Indeed, seeing Erva is definitely Midaraisa. We'll hear more about that in Mitzvah Hashem, but seeing Erva is Issa Deraisa. Somebody sees an Erva, and we'll have to define what seeing means, and we'll define what Erva is, but somebody who sees an Erva, certainly it's Issa Deraisa. If somebody recites Shema, learns Torah, while seeing an Erva, it's his own Erva, somebody else's Erva, certainly Midaraisa. Then we learned the second level, which is also probably the Raisa, is what? That's right, revealed. If the Gilui Ervo, if it's an Ervo, is revealed, even if he's closing his eyes, there's still an Issa. Machlokes is whether the Raisa, the Rabban, Mishnah Buzah seems to be taking on that it's pretty much the Raisa, but it's an Issa as well. To be the Gilui Ervo is an Issa as well, to recite or learn in front of that. Then there's the Rabbana, something which is according to all opinions of the Rabbana, which is what? If your heart is the Erva, that is certainly Medrabbanon, and if even if you're not seeing it, the example would be a robe, and we'll speak more about that. So it's you are not seeing anything. In fact, it's actually covered to some extent. But since the rope is, so it's you just literally slide into, you go in, you're actually covered. But there's no separation between your heart and your elva. So it's learned from a pasuk that Libi Ra Ha Bechachma, the Mishnah Berurah brings in Sifkot Nadat. There's an Issa over here, nevertheless, of Libi Ra Issa Elva, since there's no separation between the elva and the heart, there's still an Issa Drabonim. Having said that, we start the learning Seif Beis, which is the sugya of somebody swimming. Somebody's swimming and he's naked and he's in the water, which is clear water. The halacha is, what's the halacha? What does he need to do in order to enable him to make a bracha? Clear water, what does he need to do? He wants to have a drink of water. What does he need to do? He's in the water. Very good. That's right. He needs to have something to make a distinction, to ensure, as the Shulchan Aruch says, the beggar needs to take a clothing and need to separate. It needs to be separate between the heart and his erva, and like this he'll be fine. What about the actual issue of erva itself? Why is that not a problem? Because he's in water. Very good. Now, what about, can he use his hands? So he's got no towel available, no clothing available. Can he just do as in the water, do like this, and then make a bracha? The answer is no, because ein guf mechase guf. A person's body cannot cover itself. So just by placing your hands on your stomach, that's not going to be considered a hefsek. That's indeed the Shulchan Aruch that we ended off with. V'dafke beveget, to make a separation, you need to use the beget, a cloth, an item of biyadayim loy. But with your hands, not lo have a kisui, it's not considered a kisui. Now says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Ramah, that since once we understand that ein guf mechase guf, that's the expression of the poskim, that a guf, that a body cannot cover itself, continues the Ramah and says, v'adine mechase roishoi biyodov, lo mikir kisa roish, and le kamal tzim tzadi alef, says that once we're talking about this rule, that a person's body cannot cover itself. So also, similarly also, if a person has got no kapel, can you put your hand on your head instead of a kapel? Yes, and if somebody, there's no kapel. The kapel flew off. It happened to all of us. We all have been in that situation. It's just your kapel, your hat flew off. And you know what to do. And now, if a person is in that situation and he wants to make a bracha, what can you make? Can you just put your hand on your head and recite the bracha? You cannot. Why is that? Why not? Exactly, because ein guf mechase guf. Oh, very good. So the option, of course, absolutely. So absolutely, the solution is to use the sleeve and do it like this. That would be a perfectly acceptable option. That's right. Pardon? Very good. What about somebody else's hand? Say, well, yeah, it's actually not so posh, but Aloha, you're right. We're going to say it's somebody else's hand as well. But it's not so posh. That's the mindset we take on. Yeah, so, right. But now comes along the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch will discuss what will be the halacha if the mime, the water is dirty water, slightly discolored water. What will be the halacha then? Rabbi, person is in water, he wants to have a drink. He's had a long swim, he needs a cup of water. And he wants to have a drink. And, oh, you know, was he not so that, there was in the olden days, there was the, you know, the Bad, in the Bad Neuheim, and Bad, you know, the places that, the spas that people used to go to, you know, in Germany, and you know what I'm referring to? That, and they, is that spas, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah, so people used to be in those, was it hot water, natural, what is it exactly? Hot springs, right? And you'd be there for hours because apparently it was meant to be very healthy. Yeah, is that true, right? So and then they spend hours in there just relaxing and having a good schmooze to hear the latest, the news and, you know, because you can't talk Torah there, so I suppose you have to listen to, you have to hear the news. So the person is there and he wants to have a drink. Very likely scenario. So if the water is clean, we just learned the halacha. If he's undressed, it's no. All he needs to do is to have a beggar around his waste, and he can make a bracha, and that's fine. Cover your head, and that's fine. What about if the water is dirty? Does it make any difference? So the answer is, very good. Assuming that it is dirty enough that you cannot. Very good. So therefore what? You won't need. That's right. Very good. You won't need to use a separation. That's exactly what Shulchan Aruch said. No, it's not. No, well, he is in the water. So as we learned previously, that once you're in the water, it's considered the water. There's no problem of gil of erva and of gilui erva because you are in the water. You are in the water. So as far as that is concerned, the erva is covered. The only potential problem would be libay rois erva, and that's sorted by having dirty water. Yeah? Make sense?
Can it be nighttime as well?
That's a good question. So nighttime, not. Nighttime, not. Interesting point. Interesting. Says the Shulchan Aruch, "V'im ha'mayim achurim she'ein eivorov nirim bohem, muta likrois v'u besoichon." So if the water is discolored, it's fine. If you can, as long as you cannot see the eva, you're allowed to say shema muta likrois v'u, and you're inside it. V'u shelo yirechon ra, as long as there's no smell emerging from the water. If the water is just discolored, then it's fine. But if there's smell, then obviously you can't recite shema because of that reason. V'im li boy besoich ha'mayim, rak lemala min ha'mayim, af betzlulim shori. Now, there is a fascinating halacha over here, which is extremely relevant, which is the following. We're learning over here that
we should look at the next Mishnah Berurah. I think, let's look at the next Mishnah Berurah, which is in Siv Gimel. Okay, but that's going to be very, says the Shulchan Aruch. Let's carry on with Shulchan Aruch Siv Gimel. Ve'im Adam mechaye mechabek gufoy bezroisov.
Okay, we've got a person who's in the water and he wants to make a bracha. He has got no cloth available, no beggar available. So what he wants to do now is in the water, he wants to make a bracha, so he's putting on a couple. Now what he wants to do is, and you'll recognize this yourself, he's mechabek, he's hugging, as it were, gufoy bezroisav, he's hugging his body with his zroya, with his arms. He's folding his arms basically. And this is considered a hafsaka. This is considered a distinction separation between the erva and the heart.
Why is it better than the hand?
Very good. We'll get to that in a minute. Why is it better than the hand? And by doing this, you can actually recite the bracha. Now, the loshna of mechabek means pressing quite hard. Now, this, Rabbi Yisai, is a very relevant halacha. Because, of course, when the women go to mikveh and they make the bracha, the halacha is that there's a machlokes Shulchan Aruch when they are to make the bracha, when they go to mikveh. And the halacha is according to the Ramah, they actually make it after the tefillah they have to make. They make the bracha after the tefillah according to the Ramah. It's true that after it's go in again, it's true, but that's just a minik. But the halacha is according to the Ramah, they go and they toivel and then they make the bracha. But of course, you've got a problem. Because how is she meant to recite the bracha in the mikveh? There's various problems. And one of the problems is that head covering, or we get to head covering, it's true that we tend to cover the head. Of course, so we've got a problem potentially of libo is ever. And also, potentially libo is ever. So we're going to see about women, actually, the problem of libo is ever doesn't really apply. We'll get to that. But the way they make the recite the brachas is very much like that. The way they make the bracha is that they're going to fold their arms, and that is how they make the bracha. They fold their arms and they pray. So the question is, why does that help? Very, very much your question. Shulchan Aruch is telling us that this is considered a separation. This is considered separation. But really, if you think about this, why is this considered separation? We learned that ein guf mechase guf. How does that help? So Mishnah Berurah explains this in the following way. And Rabbi Yisai, I'll tell you the truth, I'm not 100% fully understanding what the Mishnah Berurah says. Sifkat Yudalet says follows. Kav so keperish im oimet sifkat Yudalet. Im oimet b'mayim tzlulim. If he is in clear water. V'liboy in his heart gam kein toich hamayim. He's also in the water. Tzorich lehafsik. V'tzorich lehafsik. And you need to separate bein liboy between the heart. Le'ervosoy. To the ervo. Dai baze lehafsik. This is sufficient to separate. Af agav de kisri ba'alma biyodov. Although generally hands do not work, you cannot use your hands to separate. This is better. The reason being, it's an unusual way to stand
V'roisiken, he does it. Mikra of soccer, it's considered separation. After chad guf, although it's one body. Chen is kimo achoinim.
That's the askana, askana of the achoinim. Says the Mishnah Berurah in the name of the achoinim. Do you know why this is considered a separation? Because this ain't guf mechase guf. If you're holding your hands, the hands cannot cover. But if you're folding and you're pressing, such an unusual way of standing, such an uncommon thing of doing, that's considered separation. These are the words of the Mishnah Berurah. Rabbi Yisai, how do you feel about that? What do you think about that?
It's top of your body, though, Sai. Logically, you know, it's still part of your body.
You're right.
I don't understand how it can work.
Why can it work? It's still part of your body. It's part of your body. It's part of your body. Yeah? I'll tell you, what do you think?
I think I hang the ball up.
Yeah?
There's no chatzitza, is there, between the
Why would that be considered?
That's why maybe it's a proper hat-trick,
because
there's no kind of.
But why is that considered a hefsek? Why is that considered a separation between the heart and the elbow? Why is that considered? But it's still strange. Your hands won't work because ein guf mechase guf. If I'm using a towel, I understand you're separating it. But your hands, we said, don't work because it's your body. But why not? You're standing like this, folded arms. Why does that help? Says the Mishnah Berurah, it's an unusual way of being.
People do that.
Exactly. So my question is, and I didn't get quite a good answer for that. It's not that unusual to have people folding. I can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's quite the usual way of sitting and standing. But the Mishnah Berurah says it's considered unusual. Because it's unusual, it's considered hefsek. Doesn't sound that unusual to me. So I'm not quite sure what the meaning of that is. Well, it's considered a half socket, it's considered a separation because it's on. So I'm not sure, probably it means that you're really pressing, you're standing in a pressed way that as they do, pressing it towards your chabek, lechabek, you're pressing it and that makes it an unusual way. Maybe that's the answer. But the question I think is a lot better than the answer. Not quite sure why it's going, but that's la halacha lemaisa. But more importantly, or just as importantly, is a fascinating halacha which is emerging from here, Rabbi Yisai. Rabbi Yisai, if you touch any places of your body which are normally covered, are you allowed to make a bracha? Pardon? No, of course not. Right? Once you have touched any parts of your body that require to wash hands, you have to wash your hands again. Is that correct? We learned that in Siman Dalet. So here we've got a person who is in the mikveh. Or not in the mikveh, he's in the water. And he wants to now make a bracha. I'm asking a question. See if Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, and Dalet. Oh no, Beis, Gimel, and Dalet. I'm asking a Shulchan Aruch a question. We've got a person over here who is in the water. He's in the water. And he wants to make a bracha. We're making conditions. Don't forget your couple. Make sure there's a hefsek between the top and the bottom. And now, it's fine. You can make a bracha. Well, one second over here. Is he not short? Yes. Are you sure he didn't touch any place of uncovered areas of your body? I mean, surely he did touch something. I mean, how can you get into the water? I'm saying, how can
he... In a place where you can just wash straight away.
You can wash straight away.
It's an area where you're uncovered.
Area you're uncovered anyway, so therefore...
That's the normal practice
to be. So what doesn't say anyway you have to wash your hands? You're saying you do? Hear what you hear the kasha? Okay, so now the Achoinim bring for me a raya that, and it's I don't know what you think about it. The Achoinim bring a raya, there's no, why do you have to wash hands after touching a place which is uncovered?
Sweaty.
Milmule is there. Once you have touched it, it's not because of Kabbalistic reasons, it's very simple, because of cleanliness reasons, that you've touched any uncovered area, tend to be memorial is there then, and therefore you have to wash your hands before you recite the bracha, because you've got dirty hands. The Achronim say...
Somebody says to me, you can't wash your hands, you could like...
Yeah, clearly, because you're rubbing off the dirt, absolutely. Yeah, if you can, on it. So, the question is, so the Achronim want to say, from here we see, that if you're in the water, well, you're not going to be sweating in the water. You're clean, you're in the water. So, in the water, there is no problem of touching uncovered areas of the body. So, therefore, if you're in the shower, Rabbi Yisai, and... you want to, for whatever reason, you want to make a bracha, and all you have to see, so you don't have to worry about your hands being having touched uncovered places. All you need to worry is about libur is a ever, but your head being covered. But besides that, The fact that you don't have to worry about your hands being, you don't have to worry about that. Because you're in the water. You're in the water, you're getting clean. Isn't that interesting? Pardon? Interesting, no? I think it's very interesting. Okay, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Good. Okay. Continues the Shulchan Aruch in Tziv Dalet. Yesh misha oima, some say, she noshim yicholis levoch lispark she nevushis achaluk, afal b'she'enun mafsiku is lemato me'alev. This Shulchan Aruch now is bringing an opinion that women do not have a problem of liberos ha'evor. He says that women can make a bracha when they wear chaluk, a robe, which does not separate between the top of the heart and the ervo. This opinion says that you can just rope without a belt is fine. And the reason is, the Shulchan Aruch says, naturally, the ervo of a woman is in a different place than the ervo of a man. And therefore, it's lower down. And therefore, you don't need a hefsek. It's naturally, you don't have a problem of liboi, you had roye, seeing the ervo. So there is no problem of women, there's no problem of liboi ervo with regards to women. Yesh mishoim shanoshim yicholis levorich lispalik shen levushes achaluk, afal pi she'enun mafsiko es lemato me'alev. Vimin arumois, tzorich shete ervo shelen tuchos bekakao, shioish vizal tshad. Over, when they are sit, when they are, so it makes a slight difference as to whether they are standing or they are sitting. The point being that by a woman, there may not be a problem according to this opinion of liberos ha'erva because of the natural way they are built. See if, hey, shah eivorov, roimes ha'erva. So let's say you've got a belt and you want to recite the bracha, but let's say you've got your hands could potentially see the ervo, the hands. So there is a separation, you've got a belt, there's a separation between the heart and the ervo. But there's no separation, for instance, of your feet towards the ervo, or between your hands and the ervo, between your legs and the ervo. Is that a problem or not? Shulchan Aruch says, Shah evorov, roines ervo. Other parts of the body can see the ervo. Muta, it's fine. So that's not a problem. The fact that there is no problem with liberis ever, is that this is only applies with regards to the heart, it doesn't apply towards any other parts of the body. But if you've got touching, if any part of your body touch the erva, or your own erva, somebody else's erva, so that this is a very important halacha, that no part of your body is to touch the erva when you recite Shema. And the legs, which may be touching the erva, need to separate between the leg and your erva, or to distance them. So there must be a separation between the erva and your legs. There must be a separation. See, Vav. If there was a garment chagur al mosnav on his waist, to cover him in mosnav lemato from the waist down, although that from the waist up his arm is uncovered, mutalikos kiashma, you are allowed to recite shema, havalei spadel also, but to daven is also achi chazilib until you cover your heart. So halacha here is that a person is allowed to say shema if he's wearing trousers and he's covered from the waist down, but he's undressed from the waist up, he's absolutely not wearing nothing on top, he is allowed to say shema. It's a chiddush. Yeah, we learned it before. We mentioned it earlier. True, we mentioned it earlier. Yeah, it's just explicit. You're right. We worked it out before. You're right. So there's no issa on being undressed from top. And now, guess what? It's not lechatchila. And it's actually more than that. It's actually on Mishnah Berurah in Sif Kotten Chof Beis says, it's mamash mokam atchak. It's mamash massive b'diavet. But you are yoitze reciting Shema by having nothing from the waist up. Okay. So just to recap what we covered today, Be'ezer Hashem, we went again the 3 points again. There's Erva, which is the Raisa, Gilui Erva, and then finally, if Liberes Erva, which is Medrabonon. We learned if a person is in water, then there's no problem of Erva and Gilui Erva, because he's the Erva is covered. The only potential problem is Liboy Reis Erva. So that you can sort out either by having something on your waist, so anything separating, or by having, if it's dirty water, it's fine as well, as long as it doesn't smell. Now, we learned also that although that you, by putting your hands on your stomach, on your waist, that wouldn't be good enough, because Ein Guf Mechase Guf, as by the couple, you can't use your hand as a couple. But, however, if you are Mechabek Zroisav, if you hug your arms around, you press your arms on yourself, that is okay. The Mishnah Berurah's reason is because of the unusual way of standing. And therefore, it's okay, and it's not considered Libo Reis ever. We learned then that women's natural way they have been created is that there's no problem with Libo Reis ever, according to one opinion. And we learned also that therefore they can wear a robe and they'll be able to make a bracha, although they haven't got a belt. We also mentioned very interestingly and fascinatingly indeed that somebody is allowed to make a bracha in the water, because, and although he may have touched Mekomis HaMechusim, he's allowed to make a bracha because in the water there's no problem of Zeya. With regards to other parts of the body, there's no problem of liberes erva. In other words, if the leg sees the erva, the foot sees the erva, whatever it may be, there's no problem as long as if you can see the erva. But there's a problem of touching the erva. Other parts of the body, touching the erva is a problem. You can't say Shema. And that's very important halacha to know. If, however, there is a separation, any cloth, any material separating, any underwear separating between the erva and your leg, that is perfectly okay. The Shulchan Aruch finishes off reminding us of the halacha that if there's no problem of reciting Shema when your top of your body is uncovered. And tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll be learning about Koil Be'isha Erva and Sa Be'isha Erva Mitzvah Hashem. Right.